I'm going to begin with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, help me to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Today, it's August 1st, 2022. I'm going to cover what I consider the turning point in the big book, where the big book goes from, I heard a speaker say that there's the not drinking book, and then there's the God book. And a lot of people just read the non-drinking book, and some will move towards the God book. But once people are reading the God book, they don't go back to the non-drinking book. And when I did the series on description of the alcoholic for More About Alcoholism, I realized that there is a turning point in this book on pages 44 and 45. And that they go from a description of the alcoholic to the powerless over alcohol, that you have no defense against the first drink. And on these basically two pages, they go from that point describing the alcoholic, describing the step one, to the transition to the spiritual solution to God, to the pathway to God, to the relationship with God that allows you to have power through God over alcohol and over your emotions, so that you don't live in a world in which your emotions are dominating you. And therefore, you can go to God and have you, when your emotions are out of sorts, and get undisturbed instead of having to go drink. And it's centered on living a life based on serving God and not yourself. And it starts with the, it goes from the doctor's opinion to Bill's story to there's the solution to More About Alcoholism to the chapter We Agnostics. And I think it's misunderstood. A lot of people, and when I listen to Joe and Charlie, the way they described agnostic as and we agnostics made a lot of sense to me. They're really not talking about whether you believe in God, but whether you've allowed God to work in your life. Whether you have been able to put your trust and faith in God and have God do for you what you could not do for yourself. They're talking about people with knowledge of God. Agnostic means without knowledge. And I believed in God, but I really had no knowledge of God because I'd never allowed God to work in my life. They're going from a place where you have to see, and I had to see that I have no defense against the first drink ever, that I'm completely powerless over alcohol, and I'm completely powerless over managing my life, and therefore, having truly taken that step, then we should be willing to believe that there is a power that can manage our life and that there is a power that can give us power over alcohol. But I'll never have it on my own, and I have to have a relationship with this power. And it says, in the preceding chapters, we have learned something of alcoholism. That's what they were trying to teach in the book up to page 44. And it says, we hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. And It says, if you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. Or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. And what they're talking about, have you lost, the alcoholic has lost the power of choice over drink. The alcoholic at certain times cannot recall the humiliation, defeat from alcohol and will drink again. And they will do something that they really don't want to do. And they do it because when they want to do it, they can only think about what it's going to do for them, not to them. And an alcoholic has no control once alcohol enters his body. That he will have the phenomena of craving, this allergy that the doctor called, and you'll want to have more than one drink. You won't be able to control it. And so you find you cannot quit entirely, or when drinking you have little control of the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. Now here's a key line in the big book, and here they're going from the transition from what makes you an alcoholic to what is the solution. It says, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Now think about that. It's an illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer. Now, in 2022, we have all sorts of treatment centers and outpatient programs and group therapy and all sorts of treatments of alcoholism. But what they're telling you and what I believe and what's true for me, it's an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. An experience of a power outside of myself that will give me power over alcohol and power to run my life. And it's the spiritual experience that they're going to talk about how we obtain that, you know, from pages 44 to pages 112. That means that self-knowledge won't fix this, triggers won't fix this, getting smart won't fix this. Being able to have an awareness of the inner workings of my mind won't fix this. It has to be an experience of a power outside of myself, and that experience will change the way I see the world, it'll change the way I react, it'll change my thinking, and then by doing that, it'll change my actions. So it says, and then they have a chapter on what the spiritual experience is on page 567, and I think I'm going to do one on that next. Because at the meetings, we're going to be doing family afterwards, and we started the book over, and we're in doctor's opinion. And it says, to one who feels he is atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. I don't even know what it meant. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. Now, when is an alcoholic not hopeless? I think an alcoholic is not hopeless when he thinks he's not. That really, once you've lost the power of choice and lost the power of control, you're in a hopeless situation. But the alcoholic doesn't always know that. He can't see it. He cannot see the truth from the false. It says those people who cannot or will not give themselves this simple program, where people are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They can't see that they have a hopeless condition of mind and body. And so they have this line, to be doomed to an alcoholic death, and those who are listening knows I've gone through this quite a bit. It's a line that I read for quite a while and didn't understand. It says, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Well, why not? Alcoholic death or live a spiritual basis? Well, what they're saying, and they say it in a somewhat complicated way, is it's not easy to face that you only have two alternatives. that you're a hopeless variety of alcoholic, you're going to go into an alcoholic death, or you're going to have to live on a spiritual basis. There's no third door. There's no other way out of this. And a lot of people can't see that there are only two alternatives, and therefore they're not hopeless variety. They still have a plan. They still have a way out. And it's their plan and their way out. And I think observing AA today, there's so many plans and way out that you hear at meetings. Because we have a lot of discussion meetings in Topeka, and you hear all sorts of plans and schemes, but they're not necessarily this plan in this book. And I think AA has lost the message that there's only one program of recovery. There's only one suggested program in AA, and it's the 12 steps. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's such a, what I see is such a low rate of recovery. Just people come and go. It's like a sea of faces in AA. But they say it's not so difficult to this choice. And many people hope against hope that they were not true alcoholics. And why? Because if they're a true alcoholic, they have a hopeless condition of mind and body. They have to give up on themselves completely. And they have to find a different power to live and a different way to live, and that means giving up on yourself. And we don't want to give up on ourselves because we're the center of our world. It says, but after a while we had to face the fact. Well, what made you face the fact? When you really can see the truth about your condition. That moment of complete defeat, when you see there's no other way out. You can't go on this way. And it says, then you face the fact, and this is the fact, that I must find the spiritual basis of life, or else there's no hope for me unless I can find the spiritual basis of life instead of a self-centered basis of life. I need a new director. I need a new guide. I need a new set of directions. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you, but cheer up. It says, our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. And it says, if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. And here's the problem, it's my code. It was my philosophy of life. Or it's an intellectual exercise in which I am going to be the one that's going to change the code. I'm the one that's going to change the, rely on me to do a better philosophy. And I could never do that. Then if I could do that, then I wouldn't have any character defects. So a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life is not sufficient to overcome alcoholism. And it says if that was true, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save me, no matter how much I tried. I would say, well, I'm going to go to work today and I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get disturbed. I'm going to be cool and calm. No matter what happens, I won't react negatively to anything. And it would I could never do it. And I did try. I wish to be moral. I wish to be philosophically comforted. I'm not sure I know what that means, but philosophically comforted means that my philosophy was good. My philosophy was comforting to me. The way I saw life was good. It was working. It was, but in fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. And you see, they're going from the idea that at the bottom of page 43, once more, the alcoholic has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. my defense must come from a higher power. What they're saying is, if you don't go on and do the steps and do the actions suggested in the book, that you're going to drink again. And so we were talking last night, we have our Bible study. If anybody wants to join us at 6 o'clock Central Time, where we study, we're studying the book of Luke. The Zoom code for that, it's on Zoom, is the one on the site for Sunday night meeting. We were talking about somebody that we've tried so hard to help, gone through the steps, meetings, encouraged them, and this man just could not stay sober. In fact, he almost died last week. He was so bad, and his body is starting to shut down. He's only 39, and we were talking about how we have no power to help him, and until he can completely see this and go from never going to be able to have a power to not drink, to give themselves 100% to seeking that power and giving up on themselves as the answer, nothing's going to change. And the point was that he's no worse than I am. I don't know why God's grace came to me, and I could see the truth about my situation. And I've been willing to go to any length to do these steps and to continue my relationship with God because it works. It works for me. It's not perfect, but it works. I have a way of life which is most times peaceful. I'm not in conflict with everybody and everything. And I can feel good about myself most of the time, and I can be of service to God and others. It's our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And that's a line that people understand. My human resources, all my willpower, everything I have, all my intellect, is not going to be sufficient. I'm not going to be able to change my character. I'm not going to be able to change the way I think, the way I react. The only thing that can do that is to be in fit spiritual condition and living with a relationship where God is my director. I work for him and I stay close to him, and he'll give me everything I need to handle any situation. Willpower is never going to work because if I run the world, my emotions will build up and then I'll get restless, irritable, and discontented. And then my mind is damaged. And when that happens and those emotions, my mind will say, Michael, you need a drink. And once my mind tells me that, I can't say no to it. Because at that point, I'm only thinking about what it's going to do for me, not to me. And therefore, willpower never works. Getting smart doesn't work. Memorizing the big book. And I'll tell you what else doesn't work. It doesn't work to do it for a while and then stop. Because then you're separated from God, you're back in self, you're back in your thinking, and you can't see the truth from the false. And then you start reacting negatively to situations, and your emotions build up. And then one day your mind will say, a drink sounds good. You were sober for a while. You did it for 5 years. You did it for 10 years. We had a young man who was sober for 8 years. He's to come and open up every Wednesday night because Wednesdays I had to get up really early and do the cancer conference. I got home late and I couldn't get to the room to make sure it was open. And he would open up and he would lead the meeting, you know. And after about 7 or 8 years, he stopped coming. And then he came back and he said it was horrible. And then a few months later, he said, well, he just didn't want to stop drinking, and I don't know how he's doing. He's probably only 33 now. It's very sad. But I told him, he has my number, come back, call me anytime, we're here. So you have to see it. You have to see your powerlessness. You have to see that your human resources marshaled by the will are not sufficient. Just going to meetings and being in a group of people who have the same problem will not give you the power. It should lead you to the power and to working these steps out of, I believe, out of the book. But it won't be the necessary solution. There are new people always saying to me, "Well, I can't come Wednesday and I'm busy," and that's fine. They have things to do, or Saturday and this and that. Like, the meetings are going to keep them sober. Meanwhile, I've suggested maybe that we read the book together and we go through our first and second and third step, and maybe we get into step four, and it's slow. They don't call me. They don't do the assignments I give them. And then they're always quick to tell me when they can't come to the meeting. Like, if I go to the meeting, then I'm going to be okay. And that may be true or false, but the meetings itself are to help you continue to work your program by admitting you're an alcoholic, seeing you're powerless, sharing with others, finding new people to work with, being in the fellowship of the Spirit together. So it says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. I apologize, my voice is, I've had COVID and I have a lot of drainage, and I'm sorry, I can't help it. I don't know how it sounds on the podcast, but I hope it's okay. Lack of power, that was my dilemma. Lack of power. And a dilemma is choice between equally undesirable choices. The dilemma was that I have to live on a spiritual basis or else. The dilemma was that I'm due to alcoholic death or I have to live on a spiritual basis. And notice the word spiritual is mentioned three times on page 44. And I don't believe it's mentioned in the big book up to that point. They talk about the spiritual answer in when they talk with Fred, and they talk enlarging your spirit life with Jim, but I don't think they talk about it in this frank way, that I have an illness which only a spiritual illness will conquer, live on a spiritual basis, find the spiritual basis or else, and then my human resources are marshaled by the will, fail completely, and lack of power, that's my dilemma. So it says we had to find, it's not an option. They had to find a power by which they could live, and I have to find a power by which I can live. And it's a power by which I can live. I live serving that power. I live letting that power direct me. I don't have the power as a co-pilot. The power is the power. The power is the director. And they're going to go through that on pages 60 to 63. And it had to be a power greater than myself. So it's a power to live, and it has to be a power greater than ourselves in the squiggly writing. And now here's, I think, the key line in the whole big book. And Stu and I joke about it because we love this line, because it's one word. It says, obviously. And I thought about that a lot. And then when I was reading these pages last week, I couldn't record it because I was on Zoom at home. And obviously, it has to be obvious at this point on page 45, when you've read all this information, you've looked at your first step, you've fully conceded to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic. You admit to yourself 100% powerless over alcohol. Dash, my life has become unmanageable by me. And then it has to be obvious. Then it's obvious that I have to find a power by which I could live. And if it's not obvious that I need to find a power by which I could live and a power greater than ourselves, then on page 58, I'm not going to be willing to go to any length. I'm not going to really want what they have because I won't think that I need it. I'll talk about it, but I'll balk. And I'll hold on to my old ideas, and the result's going to be nil. The obviously means that I can see that I'm doomed unless I can work these steps and I can find a relationship with God and God can give me a power to live and a power not to drink. Obviously, it's has to be obvious. Now, obvious means that it's the person could see it. He can't ignore it. It's there. And so this obviously, this one word, is the transition between the non-drinking book and the God book. And so when people have studied this and they've really taken their first step 100% in their heart, they understand their situation, their hopelessness. They can see it, they can feel it, it's not intellectual. Then it's obvious that lack of power is my problem. I have to find a power to live. And I think that's what I was, when I started to do the series on the first step, what I was seeing is that it's not obvious to the people I'm talking to. They say, well, you know, I really don't like this idea of God, or, you know, they're fighting the first step. And it's not obvious that they have a fatal illness. And unless they get a spiritual experience, there's no hope for them. So how do you get someone to see obviously? I think you can talk to them. You can read the first 44 pages with them. You can have them read it, because when you read this book, it asks you questions. So you read it and you answer the questions. They describe something. Is that true for you? Read Bill's story. See if they can identify it with it. See if they're willing to do all the things that Bill did. Read There Is a Solution. Read about the mind, the body. Look at do they have the desperation of a drowning man? Do they have the queer mental twist described in More About Alcoholism? How has this looked in their life? How did they get to the point where they are today? Can they see the truth about it? And so I always thought you took the first step before you came to the meetings, and that's what Joe and Charlie said. But I think you could still help someone who comes in, comes to AA and their life is a mess. They help them see the truth that they're never going to be able to control how much they drink. They're never going to have a power to choose not to drink. And they're not going to be able to manage their life sober and not drink. So the next line is, but where and how were we to find this power? Where and how are you going to find this power? It's obvious you need it. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. That's what it says. I don't think you need anything but this book, $5, and someone who's gone through it. The reason I started these meetings years ago was because my son died, and I thought God gave me the thought that if people could do this and could see the directions, they would do them. And so, and then I started recording like 5 years ago because members wanted to have the recordings if they couldn't come. And then that came to be the site, and a lot of people wanted me to record the meetings, and they were instrumental in getting that going. They don't come anymore, and I don't know that they're listening to any of the meetings. But I think it's a good idea. If you're listening today and it's helping someone, then that's all that matters, is if we're helping someone. Carrying this message, I'm sitting in my chair looking at my son's picture over there, and maybe Curtis's death had some meaning. If it inspired me by God to do these meetings, and it'll be August 10th, will be 14 years. It's hard to believe. Been doing this meeting for 14 years in September. I don't know, it's really helped me. It's become part of my life. And so I'm still very sad about Curtis's death. You can't describe it, but I think doing this and focusing on getting this meeting started and all that really helped me with my grief, because I was turning my thoughts to someone I could help rather than just, you know, feeling sorry for myself. I don't know if that makes any sense. And I'm kind of rambling, but... So it says, what's the book about? Its main object is enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Now, this is key. The main object of this book is to enable me to find a power greater than me, which will solve my problem. Well, it doesn't say problems. It says my problem. And my problem is that I have lack of power. And I have to find a power to live. And if I find this power, then that will solve my problem, because I'll have a power to live. But what is my really one problem? My one problem is that I'm separated from God consciously in my mind. Conscious separation. Chuck C. New pair of glasses. And there's only one solution. Conscious contact. And so now they're saying we have to go, basically, from conscious separation to God to conscious contact with God. And when I have conscious contact with God, then I have a power over alcohol and I have a power to live. And it says, this means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. It's a spiritual book and it has moral principles to live. And it's moral because it's describing a life living as the Spirit would have us. And it says it means, of course, that we're going to talk about God, and here it is. They're going to talk about God. And that's the deal. This is now the God book. They're going to talk about God, how God's going to be our director, how we have to face and be rid of things that are blocking me from God, how I have to admit to myself, to God, another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, how I have to be willing to have God remove my character defects, how I'm going to humbly ask God to remove them, how I'm willing asking God to help me make amends to those I've harmed. And then it says, willing to make amends as long as it doesn't cause me to harm other people by doing so. And so God's going to make me willing. And then I'm going to continue to take personal inventory with God of my personality. And when my thinking is wrong, I'm going to be able to admit it to myself and to God. And I'm going to be able to react differently. And I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to watch for my selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these crop up, I'm going to ask God at once to remove them. And I want to stay in fit spiritual condition, because remember, I'm not cured from alcoholism. I have a daily reprieve based upon maintaining a fit spiritual condition, a relationship with God. And what must I do in step 10? I must carry a vision of God's will in all my activities. His will, not mine, be done. And step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. That's what we're talking about. We agnostics are those who are living in conscious separation. They can believe in God, but they've never really allowed God to work in their lives. And I want conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying not only for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry out God's will. And then having this spiritual awakening, this relationship with God, which is the result of the steps, the power to live, I'm going to try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all affairs, the principles of living a spiritual life. And I think it's the principles of God's character. I think it's practicing God's character in all my affairs. Practicing love, patience, tolerance, kindness, consideration, compassion. Bringing love in every situation. Trying to be the person God created under all circumstances. And then inventorying at night when we don't. And ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures. So I hope this was helpful, but I could see the transition, and now we're going to talk about the God book. But people aren't going to be willing to read the God book unless it's obvious to them that they need a power, and the lack of power is their dilemma. So thank you, and I'm going to do another podcast on the spiritual experience that's in the back of the book. It's short, but we'll go through that. I want to thank you for your time. God bless.